Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, a host at BBS Radio, Bridging Wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. I would like to offer you the opportunity to become a host on BBS. Please call to inquire about the radio program that you would like to air at area code 530-876-9026. Program hosts are now broadcasting live from the USA, Canada, Australia, UK, Italy, South Africa, and Japan, and more people from all over 190 countries are now tuning in. For more information, please scroll to the left side of the menu on any of the pages of BBS and note becoming a host. If you would like to become a guest of a program, note that it is also located on the left side of the menu of any of the main pages of BBS. BBS is one of the largest, oldest, and most well-known all-internet talk radio networks in the world, and they provide radio talk show hosts with an excellent platform for their programming. So listen up and tune in. Expand your vision on the web and around the world. Become a host at the BBS Radio Network.
Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, with Robbie Thomas. He is my star host this evening. He is one of the most profound mediums of all times. His work just blows me away. There's so much to say about him. I'm going to give you a brief rundown. Robbie's working on a movie right now. I'll let him tell you about that. And he has several books out. He profiles for the police department, missing people, and he just does so many different things. He's going to give us some predictions this evening that he sees up for the up-and-coming year of 2011. Robbie, how are you?
I am fine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Robbie, there's so much to say with the life that you carry on and what you are working on. I am just astounded. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to let you take the wheel and just explain to the active listening audience exactly what you're up to today.
Well, this has been a very joyous holidays, and just before, I want to wish everybody Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's and lots of love and light to everybody out there who's tuning in, and to you too, Kathy, and your family.
Oh, thank you so much. You as well.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, it's been a very busy year. A lot of murder cases I have done. I got a letter today, which I jumped up and down for joy because I worked on this one case in Kentucky, and there was a lot of corruption in the one district of the police and cover-up. And, you know, that ensues on any case whatsoever. But the new sheriff coming in had forwarded to him with the detective that I worked with all the information, and we proved quite a bit of it that he's reopening the case January 3rd. When he takes office. And I just got that letter today, and I'm just like ecstatic, you know, by what came in. So he's seen the light. We actually sat down and interviewed one of the suspects, tripped him up in his wording. He was quite scared at the fact that, you know, we presented ourselves in front of him on his property and questioned him. It was just, it's amazing. But we're going to get justice for this family. And it's going to come in huge waves. That's what I said to the one lieutenant on the force. I said, you know, it's going to come in huge waves. But it just seems like, you know, I've been through this with many families in different jurisdictions, different police forces and what have you. And, you know, there are bad apples out there. I've said it before, years before, and I say it still. You know, it's a funny thing when politics and money exchange hands, and here we are, we're really talking about people's lives. So that is good news on the home front there, and I'm looking forward to taking part in that once more and leading the proper authorities down the right path to show them exactly what happened, you know, and so on. I don't want to get into too much detail, but, yeah, we're still on that case. And then right into a bestseller that came out for me. It was number 2 in Publish America Publishing house there. You know, I was astounded by when it came out on June 25th of this year. Not only did it, it's been doing well, we've written two scripts complete from the book for a movie, which has now landed in the hands of Liftoff Productions. Not only that, but Mark Tillman, who was the director for It and Stephen King, Prophecies with Christopher Walken, RoboCop, MacGyver. This guy's got a huge, huge, real list of credentials that go back to the 70s. So we're talking bigwig from Hollywood. And
this is wonderful news.
Yeah, it is. You know, it really is.
Is it the Gates from Hell book?
It's the Paranormal Encounters book.
Okay. Is that the one that has pieces of the Gates of Hell?
Yes, it's based on the actual first naming of the book was Gates of Hell. And mm-hmm. So what I've done is I've just taken back that name and put it into the script. We got Paradox, the Gates of Hell. So that's the name of the movie, title, so as we have it. But, yeah, it's been a wonderful year. And then now we just shot a opening to a new movie, reality movie for the paranormal. We're taking it a step beyond. It's just not talking to spirits or ghost chasing. We're going a little bit more in depth and showing the origins of. And we shot this in Chicago just 2 days, 3 days before Christmas with Michael Esposito and myself. And it's fantastic because the other cast members are Barb Campbell, who is in the elite of forensics. When we talk about cattle mutilations, she's worked many detailed UFOlogy and cryptozoology type work. She's known very well. So we're taking all this and putting it into perspective, and we're going to take it beyond the scope of just that, what I've mentioned. I don't want to get into detail where we're going with it, but it entails the next filmings will be in Mexico, Bermuda, Egypt is on the table, and then there's a couple other places that we've talked about at filming, which you know, it's pretty profound when you talk about latitude, longitude lines, and degrees of dimensional crossover, and how Egyptians,
wow.
You know,
oh,
it's amazing.
My God.
Yeah,
how do you come to gather all of this data? I mean, doesn't it take you forever and a day to get all that put together, or how would you start like that?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. And, you know, when you put it in a context like that, Kathy, I have to say, we just do it. We gather it. We do work professionally, and we do have the notes. We do put down everything from start to finish. I guess it's just the knowing of and how to do it quickly and do it right. And working with Michael Esposito, who is, a lot of people don't know this, but the man himself is just not an EVP researcher or the best in the world, but he is also a scientist and professor, graduated at Purdue. We also work with another scientist who developed certain bombs that are used right now in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, he's really up there, and he works with Homeland Security. So, I mean, these are the type of people I'm working with now, which is fantastic. Makes it much more easy and equatable when you say, this is my job, and then they can relate the scientific side of it to the spiritual part, and we tie it in. It's amazing.
How long have you been in this actual work that is producing now?
This movie that we're talking about right now? It's been on the table for about a year, almost a year. I met up with this one individual. We spoke. In fact, it was one of the cases. I've done a lot of cases in Kentucky. He came out to Kentucky, watched me do a live murder case in Van Leer by Butcher's Holler, where Loretta Lynn's family's from. And he showed up there, He came to my my convention last year. He also came to another place where I was doing a tour stop. Also been to my house, and I've been to his family's place, and we've drawn up plans. So it's been an ongoing thing, really researched, really developed. People are in place. We're doing what we should be doing. It's the exploration, the fact of bringing the truth forward, showing the premise of the different origins rather than just reaching out and saying, here's a level of this dimension, here's a level of this dimension, but everybody doesn't have the understanding of where it came from. So we're putting that together, and it's going to be a little different for the paranormal.
That is just, it blows my mind with what all of it you have done over the years that I've known you, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. I would love for you to give out contact information to the active listening audience, please. Bobby Thomas.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We're going to be having, keeping everybody attuned to what we're doing, and you'd be able to check that out coming up here in the new year on robbythomas.net. We'll set up a page where you'll be able to interact, see what's going on, check out the venue, where we are, the up-to-date minutes. You know, we're going to post quite a bit. It'll be very something that'll be totally different than it's ever been done before. I'm trying to go around the bush here so I don't give away what we're trying to do. But it's going to be where people will really enjoy it and they'll really tune in.
Also, your up-and-coming Halloween 2011.
Yes, absolutely. You know, great speakers.
I'm going to try to be there. I'm really working on it.
Good, good.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's, you know, it's phenomenal. I've put this together now for over a year as well. Just looking at the astute of the people who are going to be there and speak, you know, Stephen LaChance, best-selling author. He's been in many movies. You know, it's just it's phenomenal. He's been on Sci-Fi Channel, what have you. We have Robert Murch, who has been a consortium for A&E and different movies. He's the leading Ouija board expert. He has a museum full of Ouija boards that date back way back in, you know, all these different type of Ouija boards and what have you. So he's an authority.
I saw that on the CanamparaFest.com that you have up on the internet. Shows a picture of all of that kind of Ouija board.
Yeah, it's amazing what he has. Just sitting listening to him and talking to Bob, he's an amazing man. His knowledge just goes way beyond what we all think the Ouija board is. So I thought we'll give the individual or the individuals who do show up a treat and have him come down and bring a lot of his boards, and he can explain, and he's going to have us speak, and he'll talk. And as well as all the rest of the different guests that will be there. We have a special guest coming from Paranormal State who will be there. A lot of these people have been on different shows, so it's a small circle. And, you know, everybody pretty much knows each other. It's going to be for everybody. It's not just that, you know, it's for one individual. This is for the public and to come in and enjoy themselves.
What is this that is on the main page there that I just... listed the Canna. Could you say that word, Canna Parafest?
Yeah, the Canadian American Horror Parafest, which in short form would be CanAmParafest.com.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand what that was meaning. I see on that main page, if you don't mind me discussing that for just a minute.
No, go ahead.
What is about the public hangings that...
Okay, now... This is my hometown. I lived here all my life, and there were gallows at one time. Canada used to have the punishment of hanging people for murder. There was three people that were hung in the gallows here in Sarnia. Now, the last one was in 1941, in that range, and there was one hanging in particular I tried to research. They hung a lady. back in the 1800s, and I thought it was very, very peculiar the why they would hang her when she was set up in a murder case. So the innocence of her. And then when I went to the hotel, the actual hotel where we're staying, and spoke to individuals who work there and the management, it's amazing the stories they tell you where they go in to make the beds and the doors will shut, the TV will come on, won't go off, but it comes on, and they get touched. They've seen things go through walls. So this is going to be a real good spooktacular time.
Yeah, spooktacular. I tell you, there is who is opening the ceremony there, the conference?
Is the MC for, I'll be the host of the paranormal conference itself, and then we have a master of ceremonies of David Fultz. Now, David Fultz has starred in many different movies like Batman, Dark Knight, Mountain Mafia. He starred in My Bloody Wedding, and he's got a couple other great movies that he's been in and that he's going to be in coming up very shortly. He's a comedian, an actor, and a great guy at heart.
I am just so excited to try to get there. I mean, the seats are limited as well, the tickets.
Yes, this is a venue where we're not, I looked around and I've seen different venues where they've had, we can have 1,000 people come and what have you, or 800. And I thought, well, I want it to be a little bit more intimate for people. So we're looking at this as being a possible 100 to 125 tickets only. Now, on the course of Christmas week, the last Christmas week here, we did sell quite a few tickets. So the tickets are very limited. And if people want to come to this venue at the hotel itself, there are only 40, well, there's only 30 rooms remaining now. So if you want to stay at that hotel, some people are electing to stay at a different hotel, but come to the investigation where we're having it at the hotel. They don't want to be spooked all night, apparently, but there are people who want to stay there, and it's going to be great.
Robbie, when you do your work, do you feel that any of the spirits that you're connecting with ever come back home with you or cling on to you or want more from you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kathy. That goes as a given through any part of my work, being a murder case. Looking at this last one here in Ontario, in my area where I live, a little girl went missing. And after we found her body and the two individuals that were profiled were arrested, it was like I was in the living room with my wife and my children, and out of nowhere she came. And she came right into my lap and hugged me, and I was hugging her. Oh. My family's seen this, so
your shoulders there, intuitive.
It's just they do. They follow you wherever.
That's what I was always wondering, because a lot of people call a haunting, and I know that spirits do not just take up rent there. They do move around. And would you explain a little bit about the personalities of one that has crossed over? Is it the same as when they were here on Earth? Or, I know that maybe they're angered or whatever, but what do you feel is the difference? Because I know that you have worked with people that have crossed over that you knew in real life as well.
Yes. People, there's a lot of Hollywood on TV and especially on the Internet as well. And individuals take the premise of saying, that is how it is done, and it's not done like that, or this is what it's like on the other side, and this is what they're doing. When we leave here, there is no remorse, there is no anger, there is no anguish, there's only love and enlightenment. When we don't hold them back, we hold ourselves back from growing. And if that's a better way of putting it to the listeners who are tuning in, is the fact if we lose a loved one and they move on, they have moved on. They're free will. They can come and go. They're not mad. They're not upset. There is no anger. There is no hate. There is no dividing line of race or color, culture, or creed. It's a oneness. And when we are here, we are the ones who feel our own pain. A lot of people say, "Well, I'm feeling their pain." Well, they're not in pain. They're a free will. They're with God, and their loved ones and other relatives and friends or who are there and people who they've come into contact with over the years. We have it all wrong. The deluge of all information that's out there that's been force-fed to people who sit and only sit by the computer or, you know, don't have the opportunity, to put it to in a better light, to have the opportunity to go out and work with individuals and do field work, really don't understand what the perception of what the other side really truly is. But we have that inkling within us because we do have that, you know, I want to say Pandora's box, but when we do have that soul collectiveness inside, and when it opens up, one can really attune themselves to understanding what it's like on the other side rather than I assume what the other side is.
What do you feel is the reason that they call it a haunting then?
I think, you know, well, we have to go back to the again, literature, you know, what has been provocation on television, what has been thrown at individuals, and the omen, you know, haunting in Connecticut, you know, the embellishment of, and there's a great word, embellishment,
mm-hmm.
of what is true. If anybody out there who's listening to me right now, you'll understand when I say this. If I was to sit and do a movie or give you a TV show that showed you the realistic way of what it's really like, you would be bored. That's why you don't have that type of show on TV.
Really?
That's true. What you see in ghost shows, what you see on TV, is all embellishment and it's entertainment. I've sat with Vice President of A&E. I've sat with many, many big directors and producers. The aspect ratio of a program you would look at is most likely 10 to 15% real. The rest is entertainment. They have to draw the people to look at the TV.
That is one wonderful point, Robbie. Because I am not too familiar with, you know, paranormal, except for that my father comes into my house all the time. And that, you know, I've been to graveyards or different things like that, but it is astounding that you have such a profound connection because your heart is so loving and caring towards these spirits and wanting to help them. I believe that is what makes you so profound and so real in the communications and being able to work with, you know, the spirits that have passed, getting to the bottom of things and getting to the understanding so that they can feel that they, you know, a little more was paid attention to what happened to them. Because I believe in my heart that, you know, our spirits are inside of us. Whatever we do, say, think, feel, act, and this earth while we're alive, even though our body passes and dies, our spirit lives on. So our soul goes to heaven, our spirit continuously lives on around, and not many people tend to connect to that particular aspect. It's what I brought up about the fear or the anger is due to the fact that, you know, the TV shows, like you said, or the movies that they bring that out, and that's what they project to people like me that don't really know that much about this particular field.
Right, right. You know, and here's something. You know, I've been with a lot of different so-called paranormal teams throughout the United States and Canada. And, you know, when you sit there and collectively talking and chewing the rag, let's say, about the nights out or the two nights out that you've done with them, they'll say, you know, this type of work isn't for everybody because it is long and it's tedious and it's boring. And, you know, I've heard that over and over. These are some of the statements I hear from them. But when you see it on TV, and you see, you know, a snippet of something, and it's a creak, and actually, you know, house settles, and people get all riled up. There's a creak, or there's a noise, or, you know, there's a flash of light here, a flash of light there. It emphasizes to the normal viewer that this is excitement. this is what it's really like. So then they run out to Walmart and they grab a recorder, a digital recorder, and a camera, and then they go get team shirts, and they think that yes, it's going to be exactly like it is on TV, and it's not. So then they start to embellish on their captures, or let's say their evidence, and then that's why there's a lot of faking of evidence that's out there. You know, I've done this for many years, and you have to have the patience, the love, the fortitude to continue on to search for that one common thread. That's why we're taking this new movie, what we're shooting, and we're bringing in the origins, and we're going to show from science, from a scientific view, what it's like to do this and bring it in. And I'm just talking, and this one thing I want to clear up too, is when people go in and they shoot film and they have a digital recorder and they go home and they put it on their voice lab, that's not science. That's just grabbing information and putting it down and listening to it, you know, and weeding through whatever is out there. The true science is when you work with scientific people who draw up conclusions and put out their scientific methods and use different instrumentations. I'm talking a lot of different instrumentation just to see if they can get one common thread. You know, I was astounded by seeing what was going on.
What type of work you have professional photographers and film, I'm sure, but you shared with me a long time ago how people try to take pictures of, you know, entities within a place. But there's also orbs. Now, I know that orbs are mostly, as you explained to me, either dust on a lens or either, you know, some kind of moisture in the air. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's moisture in the air. There's dust particles. The shutter speed on a camera adjusted. Digital cameras are little computers. And when they snap a picture, they're trying to fix the pixelization. And that's what they'll do. That's what they're programmed to do. Now, if a digital camera and you have a light behind you, a lot of people don't know this, but that digital camera will suck light from behind you and create a false positive in front of you. We had a lady we just discussed down in Chicago with, and she said it was really funny because I put the camera up against the window and close to the window, and I snapped the picture. It showed the picture behind me, I mean the door behind me, in my picture, and it looked like there was somebody standing there. So we asked her who was in the room with her, and she explained. And then we asked if it was a double-paned window. We looked at the window, and it was a good, I'd say, inch, you know, thickness, like from one window pane to the next window pane. So when you take a snapshot, what it's doing is reflecting off the second glass, picking up who's behind in the door, and that was shot onto the film. You know, just explanations like that, you know, where people, they think they got a ghost or they got something immediately, but then if you can debunk it and take a look at it and look at the evidence properly, that's what makes looking for the paranormal normal.
Just like a mirror. If a mirror is in the room, even though you're not focusing right on the mirror, it will reflect a person or shadow and cause people to think that they've got a visitor as well.
Oh, absolutely. And depending on your shutter speed that's in your camera, and you snap a shot and your flash goes off and your shutter speed is just a tenth of a second shorter, then whatever reflects off that mirror will be picked up, and, you know, because it flashes around the room, will be picked up in your camera.
Right. There also is a body temperature change, isn't there? When you're in a spiritual room, a spirit-filled room, you know, with people that have passed or want to do.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You know, there are different temperature drops, and then you have to look as well in a big room or building, say, a building which has a big room in it. Now, you have to look at what part of what is insulated, what's not, where the drafts are, where openings or doors or what have you. A lot of people get false readings when they're up against the wall, or they're sitting close to a wall, and they say, wow, look at the temperature drop. I mean, it's 75 degrees here, and then they take their IR thermometer, and they aim it towards somebody who's 4 feet from a wall. And, of course, that wall is going to have a density of cold air coming through it. It's not all perfect. I mean, there is coldness coming through a wall, and you'll see it drop down 5 degrees or 6 degrees, and you'll think, well, there is activity in that room. There's not. You know, we have to look at the different scopes of things like that, and that's just touching the very bottom of scientific research.
I have seen some of your videos that you have out on YouTube, and one particular one that caught my attention strongly was the one with the black dog.
Right.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a very gifted dog you had there.
Well, you know, it was funny. We were sitting at breakfast with the producers, and I was on tour in 2007, and the one producer who shot the Montezuma Treasures was wanting to do a movie with me. So we sat at breakfast. We're discussing the different ins and outs of proper investigation, and he says to me, what could you do that's not norm or what has not been done by a ghost team anywhere and is not on TV? And I'm looking over his shoulder, and I see this great big Great Dane of his in his truck. And I said, I'll tell you what, you give me your dog, and I'll take your dog along, and what I say and what I see, you know, your dog will react, because animals react unrehearsed. They'll just do it spontaneous. And he agreed, and we did, and it was a hit.
It was wonderful. My dog is 14. She sits there for a while. She doesn't do it anymore. My uncle and several people were here last Christmas. I said, Puppy Wuppy will start barking over there in the corner of the room, up in the air, from about 10:38 till about 8 minutes till 11, nonstop, just talking to something. And I do believe that animals as well have that, you know, that insight, that instinct. Because my dad is here. I mean, he's part of this house. I can feel him. You know how you just know. And he comes in and out, not, you know, all the time. But I know that's the only explanation I could think of. Because they were all in shock. They said, oh, my gosh, she does. Because it's exactly at that exact time. For like 3 months, she did that. And she can't see. But she looked up. She looks up at this particular place and then, you know, then brings her head down as if she's carrying on a conversation.
Right. Yep. Animals are very spirit sensitive, and that is a great tool for anybody who is going on any so-called, you know, quote-unquote ghost hunt. You know, if you bring an animal with you and they act up in accordance to what they feel or sense, they're going to encounter way before you will. And it's amazing what they give forth in information.
You know, y'all could even use, like they do with the police dogs, you know, to sniff out drugs and stuff or whatever, bombs or whatever. Have a gifted dog along, you know, on your site sometimes that has been trained in the paranormal field.
Yes, absolutely. We have quite a bit. One of the inventions, which I like, is, you know, you see, I'd seen the practical of the EMF meter, and people put a quarter in it, and they walk around, they watch the light go from yellow to green or to red, and it fluctuates. And there's a lot of EMF in any building whatsoever, and there's a lot of faults. I mean, it's 99% false activity when we see stuff like that that's going through buildings. And this scientist, again, who worked for IBM, one of the head inventors for IBM, who now has also worked with Homeland Security, who has invented some of those ordnance, if you will, that they use over in these countries. He has invented a way of communication through EMF, but we don't have to be in a building or near any wires. And it's amazing because it's almost like a typewriter. And they can communicate. I've seen it firsthand. And we've actually had some people who were privy to coming and seeing this. And it's amazing.
So is that anything on the same lines as a Ouija board?
You know, a lot of people have questioned it along the lines of the Ouija board type thing. I want to just take it a step further and to the side a bit, because looking at it spiritually, if I can hear, as you've seen in film, you know, there's been questions asked of different ghost teams in different movies where they'll ask a question, you hear the response of the individual from the other side, you hear me say exactly what they're saying on film, but no one else can hear it. So what they've developed is something of a hearing aid, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can get a gist of what's being said.
Oh. Robbie, tell us a little bit. I'm going to switch gears here for a second. You have several predictions for the year 2011. Would you be willing to share some of these predictions on BBS Radio?
Oh, absolutely.
We would love to hear them.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at, you know, everybody's wondering about the economy, the social network of the world, and how China, America, and Canada, and what have you, you know, on the backs of all this bailout money that we've seen go out there, and a lot of people now, you know, are chewing because, oh, we got a lot to pay back and what have you. If we would have just stepped back for one moment and take a look at if it didn't happen, where would we be? So in order to say that we did this is an initiative to push ourselves forward, it was a good thing. Now, I'll expand on that. If we didn't do it, we'd be in dire straits right now. The world would be in chaos, total chaos. I know Canada held their own. I made predictions back in 2005, and I was on the cover of Invest UK Publishing for 2 years straight. And I did the predictions for the 5 years, 2005 to 2010. Oil, when I said it would reach $1,040, it reached $1,047. Gold. And when gold reached 1,047 at that mark, when it did, I was off by $7. But I mean, you know, it just showed the oil, the gas, where it would be. Again, you know, we're going to be hitting around $130, $140 barrel oil coming up very shortly.
Okay.
We will.
That's the peak to make it come back down, right?
What's that?
The economy has to peak beyond measure to bring it back down to work.
Well, there's a lot of things in the economy that have peaked that, you know, the common individual looks at commodities and certain things in our structure of our living, such as, you know, hydro, gasoline, food, those type of things. But there, on the other hand of the scale, there were a lot of companies who made out during this recession, during this bad time, who never faltered, and they kept going. Now, and the way I can prove that is I used to give different shows. I used to say, you know, here's a company. I picked up stocks. I played the stock market like I'm a stock magnet. And I said over a year and a half ago, here's a company that's 79 cents a share, and I think you guys should buy into it. And I explained about the company, and I said I felt really strong about it. Well, today that company is $12 and something a share. So it made all that through the recession, all the bad time, right up through the bail. It made a lot of money. I picked a lot of different stocks like that, and that's what I do. You know, so when I look at the forecast of the future for the economy, I see us coming out of this thing, if you will, because there's a lot of people who are hurting that depend on the commonality of living. And so I see us coming out of this in the third quarter really strong. Now, we came out of the recession. A lot of people don't realize this. We came out of the recession in June, just before June, and I called that too. I said, we'll come out in the second quarter, near the second quarter. Well, each quarter, it's divvied up in the percentage and the ratio of how we're going to do, and that's how I do my work. So I see us in the third quarter of 2011, the United States being a little stronger to where you should be. Canada will be just the same as it would have been anyways. We really just got touched by the recession. We really never got nailed as bad as our brothers and sisters in the United States. So the United States will come out strong in the third quarter of 2011. It will be a better, much better year, the climb for you guys as well. The climb's going to be good. And then going into 2012, you guys will rest assured that you guys won't be so under pressure of being owned, or, you know, as people say, we're owned by China now. You won't be so under pressure of being owned by other countries. The institution, now this is going to be a hard pill for people to swallow, But, you know, in economics and looking at the fact of how we equate certain measures in our economies, you know, I still agree what Obama did was the right measure, because if he didn't do it, you guys would be in a huge hole. I know it's a huge hole that you're in now because of what he has done, but don't look at it that way. If it wasn't done, you would have been gone.
That, you know, Robbie, you cease to amaze me at the way that you place the words together for people to understand so simply, especially with it being so extreme, you know. You're able to really break it down and help people to understand what's going on, not only in your predictions, but in your books and explaining how the movies work with, you know, catching things on film. And I just want to thank you for all that you've done with such humbleness and such care and gentleness out there. I know that. I just want to say, I've known you how long? How long have we known each other? Probably
2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have watched, sitting back in just amazement at the profound. I have gratitude for what you're doing, and I just want to know if you have any pointers out there for people to know the real from the fake of, you know, getting readings or getting understandings to, you know, the paranormal world, how they could go about really feeling out, you know, because a lot of people come to people and they really latch on to them for, like, intuitive consultation that you are very good at as well. And do you have any pointers for people that are listening right now to be able to pick up and go with a perfect or, you know, client to reader type of a, you know what I mean? There's just
so many readers out there
that it just makes me mad. Not makes me mad because they can't affect me, but it's agitating to see other people latch on and for every word and everything like that. But what could you give the active listening audience as some tips to looking for the right professional to work with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I wake up in the morning and I thank God, the creator of everything, for everything I am. In my whole year of, in my whole life, you know, I sat back and a lot of people say, well, who do you go to? And I say, I've never gone to anybody for a reading. I never have. I don't ask for it. I don't need it. The reason I say that is because I know who I am. We have to get ourselves out of those doldrums, the way that we feel in our everyday life. A lot of people put perspective on the drudgery of other people's drama. A lot of people put their emphasis on what is so bad in this world. I wake up in the morning and I try to find the good in this world. And I look for all the good in the world. And I'll continue looking through my day for the good. If there's anything bad, I just let it go and don't let it bother me, because there's so much more good out there. When we watch TV, we watch the news, you know, it's very seldom you'll see good on the news, because again, they have to emphasize and embellish on the bad to keep your attention. It's just like a movie. So the fact that, you know, you can say and take, you know, who I want to look for a reading, look inside. Look inside. I always tell people that. All your answers are deep within you. It's been given to you by God. It's there. Now, if you can take and assert yourself in the right demographics of being you and being true to you, you won't need to get a reading. And that's the honest God truth.
That is so wonderfully put, Robbie. And that is exactly what I was working towards you to say. The only thing that I learned for myself is to look at the what, the where, the when, the how, and there is my why every single time.
Right.
You know. And with people that, to me, We come into this world, God created us in one image, and that was his soul. But they come into the world just empty with no thoughts of remembrance of what was prior or what was before their time. And it's a split soul. And until they, because as we grow up, we are made of people, places, and things that tell us and teach us, you know, that we grab onto. And until we get Christ-centered or centered in ourselves with a slow meditation, which is listening to God, and prayer, which is talking to God, and really center and find out who we are, you know, to me, that's where it all starts. You know, because I work with a lot of people as a shaman and do intuitive, but I will not tell anybody any bad news, and I will not tell anybody any, you know, when they ask the questions or whatever, because to me, Robbie, that's setting up their destiny for them to go and look for what that particular person told them. Do you agree with
that? Oh, yeah. They'll hang their tooth and nail on every word that, you know, I'm not being funny here. I know there's a lot of spiritual people out there and people out there who are intuitive. But, you know, it's funny because you can go to any street corner in Phoenix, Arizona, and everybody's psychic. You know, you can go to, and it's a funny thing to say because it's one of the old sayings people always say. But, you know, it all starts with you, you know. People say, well, why don't you read anymore? And I say, because, you know, I work with the police a lot. And I put all my emphasis on the ability to work with them. And I've never drawn a penny, reward, or anything. And it's going on 20 years. And I look at what I've done, and I think, you know, it's not so much what I've done, but what Spirit has made me do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take a look at yourself and everybody who's tuned in here listening. Take a good look at yourself. You are that catalyst. You are that factor of God, or a creator, or of the universe. So utilize you. Don't utilize someone else to tell you what you should be doing.
What's so profound with that is that people in the communications of relationships, you know, they don't like to be told what to do. That's what clashes a lot of relationship issues. But yet they will go to a so-called, what you said, street psychic or whatever, and rely on everything that they said. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the questions I have with you is I would like for you to give out your information, how to get in touch with you again, for one, and then I'll ask you a couple more questions if you don't mind.
No, that's good. RobbieThomas.net. You can go there and check out my books, movies, or, you know, cases, murder cases, missing person cases, what I've worked on and what the police have to say. Also, there's a lot more information there. Movie scripts I've written, television shows I've written, things I've been involved in. You know, there's a lot more. And, you know, it's just, again, what I like about this, it's a team effort. And it's everybody that I have come across or worked with. You know, we all, you know, love the fact that we're doing this for each other and for everyone. It's amazing. And everybody I've come across who are tuning in also, you know, God bless you guys. And I wish everybody, again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. You're the best for everybody's family. But, yeah, you can check me out on that website, RobbieThomas.net.
Robbie, that is Merry Christmas, everybody, from me as well, and a good, prosperous New Year to come. I would like to ask you, and this is a question that someone had asked me to ask you, is what provoked you or what was your initiative or your passion to get into this particular field?
The paranormal itself, such at a young child age, you know, seeing and wanting to know more. You know, I said to my mother when I was 3 or 4, I said, Mom, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to be in a movie. I'm going to do, you know, this. And, of course, you know, your moms, they love you for who you are. And, you know, she encouraged me. And then I look back at what I've done, and it's like, you know, I did say that back then, and here I am now. I also said I'd be a police officer, and I went through twice to be a police officer. You know, it's just I knew the area and the focus I wanted to do. I wanted to find the truth. I wanted to bring forward more than what cartoonish ways of treating this realness. It's a lifestyle. It's not a weekend warrior. It's a lifestyle you have to live in order to bring forward the truth, such as a priest who gives a sermon every weekend to his flock. You know, you're out there searching and working with different people in the paranormal to find the truth.
You know, my mother says I am bluntly, blatantly honest with truth, almost to a fault. And I said, why is that a fault? And she says, because you tell people exactly. You don't candy coat it. And I thought that was very nice for her to be able to say, but she was meaning it because I was telling her something about herself. But anyway, I want the book, The Signs from Heaven. I have not read that yet, and it has caught my eye for years. Could you tell the active listening audience a little bit about Signs from Heaven?
Sure. Signs from Heaven is a book of the assurance of the other side. So there's stories in this book that are factual. One story was scripted for a movie and was endorsed by the Canadian government. Now, Noelia was a beautiful woman. I met her once. It was in Azores, which are nine islands off the coast of Portugal. We come home and spend, I don't know, 6-7 months later, and then I get this calling of spirit. It was her spirit, and she was dying. I couldn't understand it. We placed phone calls. Sure enough, she was in need of medical care. On the one island, they didn't have the equipment, the medical procedures, the medicine to help her out. And this poor woman was suffering, very much so. So we started out the phone calls, and a reverend who came forward from Ray Jan is an organization that goes around the world helping poor people, third world countries, and what have you. And this reverend came over, and he guided me and told me what to do. So I placed phone calls to the White House, to the UN, to the Vatican, to the Portuguese government, the Spanish government, doctors, you name it, from Canada, the United States, congressmen. I mentioned names of congressmen in the book. And what they've said to me, you know, they literally closed the doors. It was a miracle. The Canadian government just stepped out of the blue and said, we will cut through the red tape, give the visas for her, her husband, one of the doctors from over there, and a Spanish doctor called up and said he would accompany them from Spain, so he would interpret the Portuguese when he came over to help out with the doctor who volunteered in London, Ontario, to do the procedure. We had a Hercules airplane, which would land on a short runway, which could, within 100 meters. And they were willing to have a Hercules airplane go and pick her up. And then Air Canada decided they would give free airline tickets. And I'm thinking, wow, everything's coming together. Just, you know, God's moving this mountain. The mustard seed is working. And sure enough, you know, it was a miracle. Then we started on the opposite side, where we got the Israelis who called me up at home and said, please don't speak of this, because I was weighing in on the first Gulf War. And I was saying, you guys are utilizing the American armed forces that are flying sorties from Tessera Island to the Gulf and for oil and to save your hide, where this woman is only 20-minute flight to Tessera, where she could get a little bit of medicine or fly it to her and save her. And it was a big bickering going back and forth. And I started getting the phone calls from the White House and from the Israelis asking me not to speak of this. Well, as you know, Kathy, I'm open and I'm truthful, and I wrote a story about it. So it's in the book. It's a tearjerker, and there's a lot more stories in that book as well that go beyond the scope of just spirituality, and it's the humanity of life and how you live it.
Bobby, I want to thank you for being on Bridging Wisdom on BBS Radio. We're at the top of the hour, and when you wrap up, I would like to offer the active listening audience once again your website, how to get a hold of you, And maybe you bless the next year with a good closing for me.
Sure. Yes, RobbieThomas.net. Everybody can check me out. And for everybody who's tuning in, God bless you, your families, everyone you know, and God bless next year as we will. We'll usher it in all together harmoniously. It will be good. Remember, it's not what you can get out of life, but what you can put into life that measures your wealth. So remember that.
That is wonderful. Robbie, thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast. And I will see you out there.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Blessings and prosperities to you and your family. And may God always keep you safe.
Thank
this is
you.
Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, One Wisdom Spoke at a Time with Robbie Thomas. And with that, we are off the air. Bye-bye, Robbie.
Bye-bye now.